Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da du sikkert lei av å høre meg snakke om hvor enkelt det med kvitteringer og bilag i fiken. Så vi gir oss her, fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken. Superenkelt regnskap.
It's morning again in America.
I want to say one thing.
I make this
for me.
What the networks give
a few hours ago,
this campaign came to an end.
President of the United States,
I, Joseph Robinette Biden,
will not make age an issue as
this
campaign.
You're no Jack Kennedy.
You're likable.
I dream of that Biden.
Okay,
this is a bunch of stuff. Look, here's the deal.
Hei og velkommen til en spesialutgave av amerikansk politikk. Den siste uka nå så har jeg kjørt på kryss og tvers her i New Hampshire for å se og høre på Donald Trump, Nikki Haley og Ron DeSantis. Sistnevnte kastet en håndkle søndag formiddag, like etter at jeg forlot et Haley-arrangement på en restaurant I Epping, New Hampshire. God chili og kaffe der. DeSantis støtta umiddelbart Donald Trump, og han ga seg dermed før det som ville blitt et pinlig nederlag for ham her I New Hampshire. Han ligger meget lav på målinger, rundt 5-6 prosentpoeng. I New Hampshire-episoden av valgkampsirkuset, som jeg håper du har hørt på nå, så snakker jeg med Fergus Cullen, en tidligere leder av det republikanske partiet her I delstaten, som også har skrevet en bok om tidligere primærvalg I New Hampshire. Torsdag kveld sto vi bakerst I lokalet I Rochester mens vi ventet på Nikki Haley at hun skulle komme. Han har håpet på et sterkt Trump-alternativ, men var skuffet over det han har sett fra Haley I innspurten. Han mener hun for forsiktig, og at det virker som om hun befinner seg I en slags boble I innspurten. Jeg har tenkt noe av det samme etter å ha deltatt på en haug ulike arrangementer med Haley den siste uka. Hun holder den samme, nok så forsiktige talen. Hun tar som regel ikke spørsmål fra velgerne, og det virker rett og slett som hun ikke helt har knekt koden for hvordan hun skal gå etter Trump.
I was proud to serve America in his administration. But rightly or wrongly, chaos follows him. You know I'm right. Chaos follows him. And we can't have a country in disarray and a world on fire and go through four more years of chaos. We won't survive it.
Jeg kommer tilbake til Haley litt senere. Men noe av det jeg liker best med å følge presidentkandidater her I New Hampshire, det at de gjerne tar turen innom små diners. Og jeg har nettopp fått meg en kopp kaffe på Chez Vacheron I Manchester, da Nikki Haley og New Hampshire-guvernør Chris Sununu kom traskende inn I ly fra snøværet utenfor. Før vi kommer til intervjuene, så må jeg nesten beskrive omgivelsene litt mer, I tillegg til matrettene jeg bestilte. Det får vi hjelp av Michael Finen til å gjøre, en uavhengig velger fra Nashua, som har hilst på de fleste presidentkandidatene som har kommet til delstaten de siste 10 årene.
This is just a local diner. I mean, there's only 40-50 seats, but here we are, the presidential candidates come in and walk and ask people what their issues are and bring forth what their positions are. So it's great here in New Hampshire. You really can shake hands with every single presidential candidate if you want to.
And you told me you've met several candidates going back over the years.
I'm a older gentleman. I graduated from college in 1981, so I shook hands with Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., and that started me in politics, being interested in being engaged and understanding policy and listening to debates. And people here in New Hampshire take it as a incredible responsibility for our country that we're first. So we have more responsibility than maybe the fifth or sixth or tenth, because by the time you get to the last one, candidates are whittled down. We're very fortunate if there's a little bit of fight going on as to moving the first presidential primary. And our state law says ours will always be before everybody else. So we just move ours. So you can move every state you want. We'll still go the week before.
And Nikki Haley just walked in.
Yes.
You're supporting her. Can you tell me why?
I've made my decision for Nikki Haley. One, I think there's a radical old politics that is trying to reemerge, and I don't think it's healthy for the country. And then age does play into it. Even though I'm an older gentleman, I really don't need some of my father's age to rule the country, because it's a four-year stint. Take a look at Barack Obama, the first year and the last year. It beats up a person. And their world affairs, big decisions, and I think we need some healthy younger generation taking over and making policy for my kids and my grandkids.
You mentioned the word healthy. Can you describe what I just ordered here?
You ordered an item called poutine. We have a great culture here in Manchester. It's a French-Canadian, and it has French fries, cheese curds, and gravy, and your doctor would not approve.
Det var definitivt ikke helsekost, og jeg kommer heller ikke til å bestille det der igjen. Like etterpå så fikk Michael og kona Anne hils på guvernør Sununu, og de fikk også en selfie som Nikki Haley knipsa. Jeg hukket først tak I Sununu, så fortalte meg hvorfor han støtter Haley.
Look, it's about moving the country forward, not going backwards. Whether you agree with Trump's former policies, as a lot of us did, and the right president at the right time, fine. But you can't go backwards. He's not going to have the ability to get anything actually done on border security, on immigration, on any of it. He's obviously not very fiscally responsible with all the money that he borrowed that we all now have to pay back. So at the end of the day, she's a full package of experience as a governor on the international side, as a mom, as a wife of a combat veteran, understanding all these issues very, very in depth. She's an absolute workhorse. She's the Tea Party candidate of South Carolina. She's got a great record of getting those things done, not talking about it, but actually achieving results. That's an amazing opportunity to put that kind of mindset into the White House.
Yeah, I thought you might run this time. Why didn't you?
I made that decision 8 months ago.
Yeah, you just played coy with the press?
No, I thought about running because at the end of the day, I thought I could be much more effective here as governor, helping all the candidates kind of be the best version of themselves. Ultimately, I was helping them all for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Ultimately decided to get behind Nikki because she was clear and far and away the best choice on the Republican side and for the country. So, no, just at the end of the day, it's a very... to say you're going to run for president isn't a small decision. It's a major life-changing decision. And given what was going on in my life and where I could be most helpful to the Republican Party, that wasn't the best choice. And, I'm very happy with that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Sununu helt klart en meget dyktig politiker, og jeg tenker nok at de presidentambisjonene hans, de kommer til å blusse opp igjen på et senere tidspunkt. Den gangen her så har han fått en liten forsmak på hvordan det vil bli, mens han har tatt med seg Haley rundt omkring I hele delstaten. Han har samtidig svart på spørsmål fra alle som har rett. Det samme kan ikke sies om Haley, som til enhver tid har med seg et par overbeskyttende presserådgivere, som tilsynelatende får betalt for å hindre tilgang. Det mildt sagt en annen pressestrategi enn den Sununu selv praktiserer, for ikke å snakke om den demokraten Pete Buttigieg hadde I 2020, en pressestrategi som gikk ut på å snakke med alt og alle. Jeg fikk likevel lurt inn noen spørsmål mellom dinerbordene, før Haley-rådgiverne fikk blokkert meg fra ytterligere oppfølgingsspørsmål. Spørsmålet kom 5 dager før DeSantis kastet inn håndkle, og som en fotnote så kan jo nevnes at også Nikki Haley her overser Ryan Binkley, som I likhet med henne trasker rundt på diners på jakt etter velgere. Det ikke sikkert det historiebøkene vil nevne det, jeg tviler på det, men han fikk da 3 ganger flere stemmer I Iowa enn Asa Hutchinson, på tross av ikke å ha deltatt I en eneste TV-debatt eller blitt intervjuet av noen av de store TV-kanalene, som jo Hutchinson har blitt. Uansett, her Haley.
Hi, Governor. Hey. So is it a 2-person race now?
I mean, look, yeah, that's what we said last night. It's definitely a 2-person race. We're ready. We're excited.
Third place in Iowa, the third ticket, but...
I mean, look... We started with 2% when there were 14 candidates. You look at the standing in the polls in New Hampshire and South Carolina, it's a 2-person race. No question about it.
Jeg snakket også med den politiske strategen Jim Merrill, som har jobbet for en haug republikanske presidentkandidater I New Hampshire. Jeg intervjuet ham til kommende episoder av valgkampsirkuset, blant annet om Marco Rubios katastrofale TV-debatt I New Hampshire I 2016. Rubio har nå støttet Trump, I likhet med DeSantis og de fleste andre, og Merrill snakker her litt om hvorfor Rubio gjorde det, og hva det sier oss om den pågående valgkampen.
He's really, when he got reelected in 2016, he doubled down on a commitment to be an impactful legislator, not worried about presidential horse race stuff, because he clearly wasn't going to run in 20 or 24. He's a young man, and so he took the time to be a good legislator, and that meant working with Trump and his administration from time to time. You know, look, I think the Rubio endorsement falling on the heels of some other recent endorsements is a reflection of Trump's strength. This election here in New Hampshire is in play. I think Nikki Haley has a chance. I think if she does win here, it has a chance to reset the narrative. But right now, if you were playing the odds, you know, the odds are with Trump. And that's what Marco Rubio is doing. I think expecting that he's likely to be the nominee.
Noen dager senere så tok jeg turen hjem til legenden Dave Carney, som har jobbet for guvernører, senatorer og presidenter. En skikkelig ringrev, som nå blant annet jobber for Texas-guvernør Greg Abbott. lang brev fra presidenten på veggene på kontoret, I tillegg til masse valgkampmateriell fra 1980-tallet og fram til I dag. Det kommer mye mer fra Carney I kommende episoder av valgkampsirkuset, det blir veldig bra, men jeg spurte ham også om det pågående primærvalget I New Hampshire. I likhet med Fergus Cullen, så han mildt sagt lite imponert over Nikki Haley og det kampanjen hennes har gjort de siste ukene.
You know, first of all, they had run an excellent campaign in New Hampshire for the last 2 years, until about 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know what happened, but it, they got all excited in Iowa. The poll in Des Moines, Ed Richard poll had them at second place. You know, all the, you know, they got endorsements. They, you know, really felt good. They're getting crowds. But, you know, the tradition in New Hampshire is you go to someone's house, one of your people invites their friends and the media. I've been to many houses where there are more media than people. But, you know, you go to a town hall or a VFW hall or a restaurant and you invite people to come and you give your little spiel and then you answer questions. And then you, you know, walk out and talk to all the reporters, you know, a little gaggle on the way out. And they stopped doing that. And they stopped taking questions from the audience. So they talk, and they go out and shake hands and answer people's questions one-on-one, which is not the same as answering in front of everybody, including the cameras. So that was a little bit unsettling with people. And then they're talking about, you know, the surprise in Iowa, you know, I came in second. You know, this two-man race. Well, yeah, between you and DeSantis. Well, he beat you in Iowa. But, you know, that was weird messaging. And then they don't really have a message right now. It's all sort of Biden and Trump suck, therefore pick me. We can beat Biden. I'd beat Biden using a poll that's 3 months old. So I just don't know what happened. And then you know, saying the campaign was saying before Iowa, they're going to win New Hampshire. I think one person said, you know, if everyone votes, they're going to win the landslide. Well, that's not going to happen. And it just undercuts your credibility. And there's nothing going on in South Carolina. Trump's got that, you know, really locked up. And again, you know, she's not on the ballot in the caucus in Nevada, which is the 2 days before. And all of this is about delegates. I mean, no one ever talks about it. But that's the whole deal. And Trump's going to win Iowa. He won Iowa. He won New Hampshire. He's going to win Nevada. And then you go down to South Carolina. And by all accounts, a lot can change in a couple weeks. But, you know, he's going to lock that up. And Tim Scott's, I think, a pretty good indication that it's going to be locked up. And so they're not going to win anywhere. But I think they got off of their what was her shtick, which was working really well. People love that. You know, and if you get weird questions. Sometimes those are the weird questions you get on the TV. Some little kid asks you a question or, you know, someone asks you how to, you know, the media. You know, that's different than you're saying, you know, so whatever the normal questions are, you get to ask a different question, a different venue. You know, it gets you some mojo and people like that. And I just think they either thought they were going to win and they went on prevent defense, or they just got over their skis and realized that they've lost their narrative. Now they're the underdog, you know, trying to do as well as they can to, you know, maybe we can beat Trump in New Hampshire. Maybe, you know, that never won one poll with a skewed record in New Hampshire politics, sat in 7 points down. It's 20 points down every other poll, 16, 20. And that, you know, they just, I don't know, it was a mistake. Their messaging is all over the place.
En av grunnen til at Carney ikke har troet, har med andelen av uavhengige velgere hun har støttet fra foreløpig.
We call them undeclared. They haven't declared for a party. There's 40% of all voters are undeclared. And they can pick up a primary ballot in the Democrat primary or Republican primary if they want, vote, and switch right back to undeclared. At the same location, the polling location. So you're not, you know, tainted with the party label. Some surveys have had 48% of their sample being these undeclared, 45 at the minimum. So the pollsters in the last 10 days have accounted for that, the public polls I've seen, have accounted for the surge in the undeclared voters, independents. And so it's unlikely on election day that she's going to have a big surprise, because that's already baked into the cake. Interestingly, Trump's getting a hunk of these people, like 15 in one poll, is it 30, almost 27 or something in another poll. So if your whole hope is that all these undeclared voters come for you, well, you're not getting 100% of them. So that's not good. And now the Democrats have the more interesting primary. You got the write-in with the president and Dean, whatever the hell his name is.
Han bør skyte inn. Dean Phillips heter han, kongressmann fra Minnesota, noe Carney vet godt, men som han gjør et poeng av at han ikke husker navnet på for å understreke hvor ubetydelig han er. Phillips har bra med penger og stille fordi ingen andre gjør det. Sorry, Marianne Williamson. Og hovedpoenget hans er at Biden for gammel, og at han kommer til å tape mot Trump I november. Uansett.
That was existence before this. But the progressives have started this write-in ceasefire. To send a message to the president on Gaza. Now, it started Wednesday, which is late.
But it,
you got Trump's winning the Hampshire primary. Everyone said that. You're an undeclared voter. And you see there's some, you know, and you're something fun to do. Like, this, you know, you don't think what's going on in Gaza is terrible. And you go right in ceasefire instead of Joe Biden or Dean, whatever his name is. You know, it may attract some more of our, of these undeclareds who like to go where there's the most action. And that may actually be the more exciting primary. It's kind of interesting.
Vi får se hvordan det går. Jeg skal på Trump-arrangement mandag kveld, og så kommer vi selvsagt med en episode dagen etter valget. I mellomtida så håper jeg du setter deg en knapp halvtime til New Hampshire-episoden av Valgkampsirkuset. Søk opp podcasten om du ikke abonnerer allerede. Vi har mye godt innhold på lur utover vinteren. Det var det jeg hadde I denne korte New Hampshire-spesialen her. Vi tilbake, som sagt, med en ny episode snart. Tips andre om å høre på amerikansk politikk, det setter vi stor pris på. Og så blir det jo spennende å se da, hva som skjer I New Hampshire.
Right? If we were in Russia, we wouldn't live much longer. We wouldn't allow that to have happened. God bless America, that's for sure. So look, it's more of the same.